As Fraser said, my dad is Augustine, my mum is Marina, my grandma was the late Catherine Money. I've got a degree in theology and my diploma is in youth ministry, so hopefully what I say is makes sense. I've got a graduate diploma in primary school teaching, so currently I'm a primary school teacher. George said I wasn't allowed to tell anyone off if you start talking in between my sermon, but I might, and I apologize in advance. I'm telling you these things as well because statistically, the more you know about me, the more you will listen to me. So we'll see what happens as we go through. So it's good to get a joke out of the way. All right, so today we're talking about Psalms 121. It was read perfectly before, so I'm not going to read it out again. Hopefully you can read the font. I thought it was a cool font, but now I'm having second regrets and second thoughts about the font. It's all right, though. The reality is this psalm is a psalm of ascent, which is pretty much a psalm of they're traveling. They're on this journey, and they're just singing, and they're saying these things over themselves. So this sermon in particular is for you if you are in this moment of transition, if you're in the moment of journey, if you're in the moment of unknown, or if you're a human. So just take it in either way. This is for you. I'm not going to read it out again. It's up there, but what will happen is I'll just throw a couple of verses and I'll talk about them for a bit. And then afterwards, I've got a really cool demonstration. My lovely assistant, Jimmy, will help me if he doesn't fall asleep, though. So keep an eye on him. So, as I said previously, this psalm is a psalm for traveling. Commentators would say that this is a psalm as the psalmist is on their journey to Jerusalem. So with this psalm, it's awesome because they have a place where the psalmist was, and there's a place where the psalmist is going. But this psalm is in particular for the journey of the in-between. So not the start, not the beginning, but the journey of in-between. Does that make sense so far? Cool. Yeah. I saw a lot of heads and one person said yes. Cool. And now the awesome thing is we've framed this journey. So there is that start, the beginning. The important thing, though, is the length is not identified in this. It could have been a short journey. It could have been a long journey. But the reality is there's a journey either way. Cool? One person, yeah. I'm going to keep interacting. That's what I do as a teacher. I interact with my kids. I go, yeah. And you can see the one kid has fallen asleep because they're like, and you're like, Jimmy, wake up. I'm going to say Jimmy as well because Jimmy was my best mate, James, and I call him Jimmy. So he's my go-to like pseudo name. All right. So we've got this two verses here. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The really cool thing about the psalm is that it interacts with a lot of different stories from previous and has also a lot of different connotations. So I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does it come from? The author is sure of one thing in the process. The author is sure that Jehovah is with him or with them as they walk. The author is sure that Jehovah is watching them as they journey. The length is unclear. Where they're going is not really sure, but the author is clear of one thing. God is in the process. God is in that journey. He doesn't just show up as the author enters Jerusalem. God is with him as they journey. So if you're in that process of journey and you're like, God, where are you in the situation? Be confident that God is with you. He's not going to just interrupt when you've reached your goal or you've reached your destination, which I think is actually really cool about this passage. The other really cool thing is the psalmist looks at what these amazing mountains. I don't know if you've seen like an amazing mountain range before and you're like, whoa, that's super cool. But the psalmist does this really cool thing where they look beyond the mountains. They look beyond the miracle and they go, God did this. God created this. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with that sometimes because I see what's in front of me as I see what's right there and I can never see beyond that. I don't know if you struggle with that too, but that's something that I'm working on. We're going, actually, God's in this. God's in the process. God made this. This isn't me. Is that right? There we go. I got a few more voices. Yeah. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Sorry. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. When I read this, I was automatically drawn to that concept of foundation. What is your foundation on? What is your foundation built on? And because of that, I was automatically drawn to the parable of the two gentlemen who built their house. One built it on rock, one built it on sand. Hands up, do we know that story? Yeah, cool. Does someone else want to come and tell the story? Oh, that's a no. All right, cool, that's all right. So what happens is the waves come and crash, and the one who builds their house on sand, the sand just erodes. It goes away, and the house falls over. And then you have the one who built his house on rock, the solid foundation. The waves come, the rock doesn't erode, the rock doesn't go away, the house stays up. So I was really drawn to that. What is your foundation on? He will not let your foot slip. What is your foundation? Is it sand? Is it rock? I was really drawn to that concept. Sorry, back it up. The author, the psalmist, even takes a stab on the god Baal, which was really interesting as well. Indeed, he who watches Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I don't know if you know the story of Elijah versus the 450 prophets of Baal. Do we know that story? Yeah. I love it. More voices. We're going to get a choir at the end. It's going to be amazing. Jimmy's going to come and sing. It's going to be so good. So we have this interesting thing. So I'm going to go back and forth with different stories because the psalm just really touches on different stories. So we have this story of Elijah taking on the 450 prophets of Baal. They have the sacrifice, each of them, and the aim of the game is to get their god to come and show up and set this sacrifice on fire. So the prophets of Baal go first, 450 of them, they're praying. They end up starting to lash themselves, and I love this. Elijah has the audacity to say these words. He says, "At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. 'Shout louder,' he said. 'Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is in deep thought, or he's busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened.'" So this is from 1 Kings 27. I love the audacity of Elijah. He hasn't even gone yet, and he's like, "Guys, you know what? I know God's going to turn up." Like, it's awesome. Elijah has his turn. He, like, drowns his sacrifice in water. It's baskets and baskets. He makes a moat. He prays to God, and God shows up. He just comes in, and he lights this sacrifice on fire. What I love about this is the psalmist is drawing from that. He's drawing from the promises that have already been there, or the promises that are present, which I think is really awesome. "The Lord watches over you. He is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night." Remember, these guys are traveling. So they're traveling in either hot sun or they're traveling at night. But God's like, "I am here. I am here in the sun, in the daytime. I am here in the nighttime." All right, this is a question for y'all. Who knows another story of people traveling in a moon and night connotation? There's a lot of traveling. I'm hearing whispers. Can someone shout it? Let's raise the roof. Exodus story, yes. Oh, you guys are so... Fraser's doing well, let me tell you. So what do you say? "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on the way. And by night, the pillar of fire to give them light, that they can travel by day or by night." Can you see how this Bible verse, it's touching on a lot of different things? It's a massive hour sermon, but I've got 20 minutes, so I'm going to rush through. 21 if I ask nicely. Sorry. "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forever." What I truly love about the psalm, what I truly love about this, is that the psalmist never takes any credit. "You're going to do this magical thing where you keep your eyes on me, and my ninja assistant, Jimmy, is going to do something special. So you can't look at Jimmy, even though I just said it." It's like one of those, "Don't look that way, look at me." So what I love is the psalmist never takes credit for anything. He never goes, "Look where I have begun, look where I am going." He never says, "Oh, poor me." Whatever the psalmist says, it's positive. Whatever the psalmist says is God is in control. God's doing something special. God is the one. And for me, that's amazing because I don't know about you, but when I'm in the pit, when I'm in the journey, I go, "Man, look how cool I was." Like me 2 years ago when I was studying to be a teacher, whereas I am now. Whereas the psalmist goes, "Look what God did. And look what God's continuing to do. And I think that in itself is so amazing to go, it's not in our strength, it's not in us, but it's in God's strength and it's God's power, which is, it just blows my mind every time. And with this, I think the coolest thing about this whole psalm is, I just love how free the psalmist is, how light the psalmist is in this journey. The psalmist is never like, oh, this is difficult. The psalmist is never heavy. The psalmist is light. The psalmist is like, life is good. We're going to this space. God is in control. God is working. And I don't know about you, but for me, like, that's what I want. That's what I want in life. I've got a little demonstration thing. It's going to work out really well, and you're going to be blown away, I swear. If you're not, then whoa, jeez. This is what I think the psalmist looks like at the moment. The psalmist is free. The psalmist is light. The psalmist is able to just do. And the psalmist is confident of that. So the psalmist is confident of God. But I really think these things happen. What do you think I have in here? It is an elephant. Well done, Fraser. Where's the lollies? There we go. I've got ping pong balls in here, if you don't know. Because I think when we journey through life, we pick up a lot. I think we pick up a lot of things like self-doubt. Where you were meant to be when you were the age you are now. Where you were meant to be 2 years ago. Comparing yourself to others. Having others compare you for you. Relationships, sickness, death, what else? Doubt. For me, it'd be failing year 13. What other things? For me, it would be being celiac. That's big. I don't know about your journey, but it starts to get heavier and heavier. And heavier. And we end up starting to fill our vessels. And we're no longer light. Oh. People also go. People come. The thing is most of us look like this, or some form of that. We're no longer light. We're no longer enjoying the journey, but the journey is a struggle. The journey is hard. The journey weighs us down. I don't know what the journey looks like for you, because when I put them in, I could easily say one ping pong ball represents one thing, one ping pong ball represents another. Still being single at the age of 26, that's a ping pong ball in there. Why was that a joke? Were you like, he should not be single? Oh, hey, I'm talking, you're listening, all right? But I don't know about you, but you start to name different ping pong balls. You start to go, that's a failure of some sort. That's something holding me back. That's something that someone else has placed upon us. And it starts to grow, and it starts being heavy, and life is now hard. I don't know about you, but I want to be like the psalmist. I want to be able to go on a journey and just know that it's going to work out well. I just want to know that God's in this. I want to know that life is just going to be good. But unfortunately, I don't. And I look a bit like this. My lovely assistant, though, is going to bring me the holy water of holiness. Yeah, round of applause, my lovely assistant, ladies. Yeah. Just don't trip up, man. It'll be so bad. Thanks. I'll take one. So some of you will be saying, Gershon, like, what do we do to get back into that spot of feeling light, of enjoying the journey, of knowing that God's going to be present? I say those things are going to church, hanging out with other Christians, reading your Bible, praying. Because the really cool thing is when you start sowing into yourself, you start filling yourself up. You don't see any movement yet. This is when things start to get a bit exciting. You're like, ooh, something's happening. I'm feeling a bit different. But then we kind of keep sowing in. And we sow in, and we sow in, and we sow in, and we sow. And the really cool thing is these things start getting lighter. And the really exciting thing is that I'm going to ask Jimmy if he can fill up another bottle of water because it's not going to work out. Yeah, I might need three. I'm not going to lie to you, I'm probably going to put another ball in there. I was like, oh man, I've got like 100 of them and I don't know what to do with them now. But that's all right. The cool thing is we start getting lighter. This starts happening. But we get to a place where we go, cool, I'm lighter. Cool, this isn't as scary as it was before. Cool, these things are disappearing. And we stop. I'm just going to add a bit more water in, and I'm going to ask you a question. They're all falling. We tried to catch them. What do you see? There's space at the bottom. But the cool thing is, well, not the cool thing. I mean, if I said, go to the car park and you can see through the walls, I don't know about you, but I would see the ping pong balls. I would still see the things on top. Because the reality is we're not where we are called to be, where we are meant to be at 100%. Oh, look at Jimmy, he gets two, you legend. You know me too well. See, because the reality is I think at this stage, when we start feeling better, this is where faith takes over. This is where trust in God takes over. Because you've done the work. You've joined a small group. You've read your Bible. You've prayed consistently. And now you've got to go, God, I know that you're in control. God, I know you're doing something. Because that's what the psalmist does. That's all the psalmist does is says, God, I know you've got this. And I think that's amazing. So we put faith in there. And we keep throwing more faith in there. We check it all out. I'm sorry, Fraser. It's going to be a mess, but it's a good mess, I swear. That's what happens. At the end, we go to being light. And the really cool thing is, it can never sink down anymore. It stays on the top. It becomes surface level. Hopefully this works. You blow them out. How cool is that? Sorry, I can imagine you worshiping in that space now. Yeah. This is the cool thing. I think this is definitely where the psalmist is at as well. The reality is you need to start looking at, I mean, the journey that you're on. Where are you at? What are you going to do to get to that other level? I'm going to leave you with my final quote of the day. This one's going to like definitely take you away. It's going to be amazing. I think I've got it up there. If I don't, I'm going to read it out. Yes, there we go. My favorite theologian, Drake. If you don't know who Drake is, can you turn to someone who's like probably like 30 down and go, who's Drake? And they'll be like, he's the man. Yeah, Sir Francis Drake. That's the one I was talking about. No, Fraser, it's not the one I was talking about. He says, sometimes it's the journey that teaches you a lot about your destination. And I think that's powerful in itself because I don't know about you, but I learn the most when I'm in the journey. I don't learn the most when I get there. I learn the most when I look back and go, God, you're in that situation. God, wow, you're working. God, this is you. I want to be like the psalmist. I want to go, cool, God got me started and God's in this. That's what God is going to do. And I think that's amazing in itself. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to pray for you. I'm just going to pray for faith. I'm going to pray that wherever situation you are, whatever ping pong ball you've put in there, I want you, I'm just going to pray that that God's going to be working in your life. Is that cool? And that's me done. I might pick up the ping pong balls later, and that's all good. With what? Oh, okay, sorry. You're going to chuck a ping pong ball at me, I know it. All right, so we're just going to pray. And if you want to receive this prayer, awesome. And if you want to pray your own prayer at the same time, that's brilliant in itself. God, we just thank you so much for what you've done in this space. We want to thank you so much for the words that were you said. And God, we want to thank you for the hearts that were open to receive it, the ears that were open to receive it as well. God, we pray that you work in all of our lives today. We pray that you take the ping pong balls out. I pray that you make us lighter today. God, I pray that the journey, that we have faith and we trust you in the journey, God. That the journey isn't hard, but it's a journey of excitement. It's a journey of, wow, God, you are just continuously working. So, Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in this space. God, thank you so much for what you're going to do. And thank you so much for what you have done. And yeah, God, we just pray these things in your amazing name. And the church says, amen. Awesome.